Hello, hello, and welcome everybody to Awakening to the Art of Mentoring. Welcome here. My name is Tim Corcoran, and I am the co-director and co-founder of Twin Eagles Wilderness School, and we're hosting the call today. I'm going to be your MC for this call, and yeah, we are really excited about our call today. We've had just a huge, huge response. We anticipated getting maybe 100 people or so to register, but in fact, we had over 300 people register for the call, which is just a really amazing, huge turnout that we're really, really excited about. I want to just share with everybody a little bit about who is on the call today. We have literally people from all around the world who have signed up for our call. We've got great representation from our local bioregion here around the Twin Eagles Wilderness School area. We've got folks from Sandpoint, Idaho, Spokane, Washington. We've got Moscow, Idaho, Nelson, B.C., Western Montana, Ravenwood folks on the call here. We've got Bozeman, Montana, and then all across the United States, West Coast, Southwest, Northwest, Northeast, Southeast, Midwest. We've got Hawaii, Canada, Ireland, England, Austria, Netherlands, South America, and even New Zealand. So just a big, big welcome to everyone who's with us here, either on the call live or if you're listening to this as a recording, because the call is being recorded, and we're going to be sending out a link to everyone to listen to that recording over the email. Okay, so I think some of you may know this, but it's worth saying that the art of mentoring has really become, as you can tell, a whole worldwide movement. There's currently six different art of mentorings happening across the United States, Canada, and Europe, and there's even one happening right now where Mark and John are dialing in from over in Scotland. And so we're just really, really excited to bring everyone together. And for this call, we're using the Maestro conference call technology, which is a little new to me. This is my first time in the driver's seat with it, so excuse any technical glitches, but it's pretty straightforward, so I think we should have just a great call here. If you do get dropped by for any reason, just feel free to call back on the same information that you dialed in on. And if you have any technical difficulties, you can hit the number 5 on your telephone keypad. Maestro gives us the opportunity to be interactive, take different polls, and do different things. So one thing I'd like to do here as we get started, just to get a sense of who we've got with us on the call, is let's take a quick poll on whether you've been to an Art of Mentoring before or not. So if you've been to an Art of Mentoring at any point in the past, just please press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And if you have not been to an Art of Mentoring, please press the number 2. And this will take just a second to come in. Okay, great. Okay, great. So we've got some people not responding, but it looks like about 30% of folks have been to an Art of Mentoring, and just about half of the folks have not been to an Art of Mentoring. So that's great. That gives us a sense of who we've got, and you know, that's really our intention for the call today, is to give everyone an introduction to the Art of Mentoring and a sense, a little bit more of a sense about what this is really all about. after my introduction here, I'm going to pass the microphone over to Janine Tidwell, who's going to speak for a bit, and then we'll have Mark Morey come on the line, and he'll be speaking, and then we'll bring John Young on the line, and he'll be speaking. At the very end of the call, I'm going to get back online and offer a special limited time discount to the Art of Mentoring happening here in Idaho in October here at Twin Eagles Wilderness School. And if we have extra time after that, we will do a little bit of Q&A. Okay, so that's just a brief outline of our call here today. So if you've been to an Art of Mentoring before, you're familiar with the Thanksgiving address. And Thanksgiving as a practice is one of the key elements in the Art of Mentoring teaching bundle. In fact, it's one of the very core routines that we practice, and it's one of the things that facilitates connection very, very powerfully between people in nature, people in themselves, people in other people. And so I'm going to start the call off today by offering up just a little bit of gratitude, and in that way we'll bring our hearts and our minds together.
Community village life. In that village.
So what we're going to do here is just get started with that.
Culture.
And excuse me for just a moment here. Okay. Okay, so yeah, just to start with, I'm going to take a deep breath, and I just want to invite everyone to do the same and just arrive in our bodies here. And just want to encourage everyone to just, take a deep breath and presence the five senses. Presence your sight and what you're hearing. Presence the feelings in your body and your sense of smell and your sense of taste. And just relax into that and maybe release any of those thoughts that may or may not be rushing through the mind right now. And just join me here in the present moment. I'm really grateful for technology, telephones, internet. Pretty amazing that we live in this world where we can all come together from around the world real time like this. And so I just want to say thank you for the technology that's bringing us together here today. And similarly, in a funny kind of way, it is similar that we're all also connected, of course, by the earth. And just by tapping into that feeling of gravity, we live with this moment to moment, but just tap into that for a moment and feel the earth's pull, bringing your feet to the ground. Feel the drawing of Mother Earth drawing you in. And no matter where we all are, we're all connected by that feeling, by this earth. And so I'm thankful for the earth here today. In my neck of the woods here in North Idaho, in the northwestern United States, the earth is just really coming alive. It's, of course, early June, so it's mid-spring, late spring. And, oh my gosh, the life is just so bountiful out here. The juncos have just finished fledging, and that's been an amazing thing to watch. I love going out with students or my sons, and we love to go out there, of course, and nest hunt and watch all the nests this time of year. The juncos have just fledged. The swallows are just about to. Of course, the robins and the woodpeckers have, and it's just an amazing thing to be present to life coming back here during the springtime. It's mushroom season out where we're at as well, and our morel mushroom season has just come to a close, and we had a really big season of morels, and I had just a ton of fun getting out there and hunting for morels again at the different programs and that we run here. And we brought them back, of course, and cooked them up, and oh, what a delicacy. And I'm thankful for all those mushrooms and all of life that's coming back here in the springtime. And you know, with those mushrooms, there are those invisible lines of mycelium that connect them all together. And just like those invisible threads connecting the mushrooms together, we have those threads connecting us together. And in that way, we have community. And so I'm thankful for community and for family, with the families within those communities that all make up this greater experience of life. I want to acknowledge the ancestors who passed these teachings on to us and the future generations that we're dedicated to passing these teachings on to. And I feel like it's a pretty special place to be here, with one hand reaching back to the ancestors and another reaching forward to the future generations, linking us all together. And here we are with our turn, our chance at life. And so I'm grateful for all these things. And, you know, these are just a few of the things on my heart right now. But by no means is that all, all-encompassing. There's a lot more we could give thanks for. So I just want to take a moment and would ask you to join me in sending a big blanket of greetings and thanksgiving out to all things here as we bring our hearts and our minds together for this call. Well, with that, we can get started here, and I'd like to introduce our first speaker. I'm just going to get this all set up. Okay, so our first speaker here is Janine Tidwell, and it's a special honor for me to introduce Janine, as she's also my wife. And Janine grew up immersed in nature in the mountains and canyons of southern Utah, just outside of Zion National Park. She learned how to raise animals at a young age from her family. And over 20 years ago, at the age of 18, she had the vision of creating a powerful cultural sphere of learning for people to connect with nature, community, and themselves. At that time, she went on a quest to discover for herself what it really meant to connect deeply with nature. And through developing these deep bonds, she combined those with her natural and intuitive understanding of how humans learn and grow. And through that, she's become a really powerful facilitator for the transformational deep nature connection mentoring journey. Her journey has led her to learn from renowned Native elders and mentors from all over the world, including the late Gilbert Walking Bull, Ingwe, and Jake Swamp. She co-founded Twin Eagles Wilderness School in 2005, along with myself, which she's been co-directing ever since. She is a coach and consultant for adults in deep nature connection, mentoring, and the healing journey. And finally, her most esteemed path in life is being a mother to two beautiful sons. So it's my great pleasure to introduce to you Janine Tidwell.
I'm really grateful to be on this call, and I'm thankful that Mark and John are also on this call joining us. And I just want to start off by acknowledging that there's a lot of different people on the call. Tim mentioned that there's about half of the people on the call who haven't been to an Art of Mentoring. So I want to speak to what the Art of Mentoring is for just a moment. And I often hear people say it's difficult to describe and that it's something you just have to come and experience. And I know I was one of those people. And even today, I still feel that way. But after going to a bunch of the Art of Mentorings and helping them get off the ground and supporting them and stepping into different roles and learning how it works, and it's always evolving and changing, I found I got more rooted in what's going on, and I feel I'm able to more tangibly articulate what it is. So I just wanted to give a little backdrop on the Art of Mentoring. It formally first got started as this highly inspirational tour across the country in a van with this very gifted crew of people who wanted to bring this vision of nature connection and cultural mentoring to people everywhere. And there was this visionary endeavor to reach a wider culture and larger groups of people. So in this essence, it's a model for bringing the village to life. And what started out as an assimilated experience for adults, connecting with nature, learning about mentoring relationships through experiencing them by being both mentor and student, it's progressed to embody a wider scope of the experience of village. So if you can just imagine for a moment in its fullest expression, there's babies and infants and pregnant women and toddlers and children and adolescents and teens, young adults, adults, this whole stage of the human life, all these different stages of the human life cycle, practicing elders, even ancestors are present there with us, aunties and uncles and parents and grandparents and all these lines and webs of extended families. And all of these people are connecting with nature, and they're embedded and practicing mentoring relationships with each other. And we're all going somewhere together. We're becoming a community, and we're becoming cultural leaders and visionaries and healers, and there's herbalists, and all these different people are learning skills and gifts. And there's dreaming and ceremonies and personal commitment to practices, learning what it means to really root in something like a practice. And then there's this connection to place that I'm mentioning, to a shared story. And there's visions of the land and our life with the land. And all of this really comes back to building language and connection. The whole point of this is for us to connect. So, to be succinct, it's an immersion experience in village life and community life. And in that village, there's this group of people who are held within this diverse intergenerational culture. So just imagine living in that. And the Art of Mentoring is an experience of that. And we learn these tangible tools for how to do that in our own communities. We take it back to our own communities and we create that. So part of the journey of creating the Art of Mentoring has been looking into indigenous cultures around the world and learning from them, because indigenous cultures all around the world have these practices of living close to the land and with each other and in these mentoring relationships. And you can learn a lot, not just by observing them, but by actually experiencing their shared life ways and practices. So that's what we do at the Art of Mentoring. But we do it in a way that makes sense for us and that's authentic for our culture. So thankfully, long ago, John planted this big seed for gleaning the insights of earth-based cultures and trying to understand how they're so powerfully connected with nature. And what does that do for them? And so this seed grew, and as a result, there's many people in the movement who've worked with various Native people up close. And one of the most common universal culture points we've discovered that's been present is one called naming. So I just want to tell you a little bit about naming. In indigenous cultures around the world, naming is really powerful because it's facilitating this connection between you and nature and this connection between you and the deeper meaning of who you are in the world and the gifts that you bring forth. So my first ever Art of Mentoring, I remember back in 1999, I got this new name. And it was a nature name. I remember picking it out of a hat, and on the surface it seemed quite random. But actually, I didn't realize at the time I was being facilitated in these connections. I much later realized that. So I was being called forth to connect with this plant species called Hepatica. It's this beautiful little woodland plant that pops up in the springtime. And now, over a decade later, when I help my sons go to bed at night, the last story I tell them is this oral tradition of storytelling. And it's about this young girl named Hepatica. She lives in the woods with the animals and the woodland spirits. And my boys absolutely love these stories. And this whole tradition was inspired by this book I read about a young orphan girl, and her name was Hepatica. And I thought to myself, wow, this is such a synchronicity. Here I'm coming upon this book, and this was my first nature name at the Art of Mentoring. So, and this young girl, Hepatica, she went into the woods, and she was given a home there by the great tree mother. And she was in this huge community of spirits and animals. And so at night, when I tell my boys these stories, we go into all these amazing journeys and adventures together. And all along the way, my sons are learning about the ways of nature through storytelling, which is this whole other amazing aspect to the Art of Mentoring, storytelling. So anyway, from this first species name I got, I began to get these incredible experiences to sit with these teachers in the nature connection movement, these indigenous people. Some of them are now ancestors, and they've passed away, and some of them are still living today. And one thing I found that they all had in common, no matter what culture they were from or where they lived, was that they all had a nature name. And I saw, oh my gosh, here it is again, this naming process. So, you know, just to give you a sense of their different nature names, one of our teachers, Norman Powell, had the name Ingwe, and he was born of British descent, but he lived among the Akamba people in Africa, and his name, Ingwe, means leopard. And then there's another Native elder, Gilbert Walking Bull. He's a spiritual healer, a Lakota elder. And his name, Walking Bull, refers to the buffalo. And there's another teacher that we've met. His name's Tony Ten Fingers. He's a traditional Lakota Oglala Sioux, and his nature name is Charging Eagle. And then most recently, over the past few years, we've been working with a wonderful friend of ours, Barry Moses, who's native of Spokane, and his name is Salustu. He's Salish, and his name Salustu means where the worlds come together. So these Native people, they have really big medicine with their names. And when I'm with them, I feel that I'm with a spirit that's much larger than just them. For example, when I sit with Gilbert Walking Bull, I feel like I'm reaching my hand back through time, and I can feel the sacredness of the buffalo, right? These are animals that have fed and supported and given life to a whole culture for hundreds of years. So sitting with Gilbert, I'm sitting with that animal name, right? And he's so connected to the animals and to his people. So this naming is really powerful. And it makes me think, too, of my sons when they first got their nature names when they were born. These weren't names we invented, or we actually didn't even pick them out of a hat like I did at the Art of Mentoring. These names came to them by observing and being aware of the present moment and of our surroundings. And that's what Native people did. So, for example, my son Forrest, when he was born, the barred owl called continually outside as if it was saying Forrest is born. And Forrest has always had all these synchronicities with barred owls. And so now, at 2.5, he's saying his name is barred owl all the time. And he has these stuffed animal barred owls that he carries around, he sleeps with, and he takes them to parties. And when we're reading a story, he jumps in the middle to remind us that that's his animal name. And then my other son, River, he's almost 6. His nature name is River Otter. And what's really amazing about his animal name is it came to my husband, Tim, in a dream where our son, River, turned into a river otter, and then he turned back into himself several times, back and forth like that. And he first started building these connections, you know, with river otters, but now it's gotten to something much deeper, and he wants to read all about them, and he asks me questions about them, like, how long can they breathe underwater, really? And he's always thinking about them and imagining them underwater with his mind's eye. And so he's developing this really visceral connection. So this is what happens with naming. I mean, what starts out as just picking a name out of a hat can turn into a whole string of synchronicities that can span your whole life. And it's all going back to connecting you with nature and with yourself and with others. So just one more story I want to share with you. When we first started Twin Eagles in 2005, our very first youth program was a homeschooled program that met once per week. And when we started in the fall, there we had our basket with the names, and all of the students were there and our new instructors. And Tim brought out this story of how Tom Brown's mentor, Stalking Wolf, got his name. That was like the start of us getting our names. And everybody was really excited to get a new name. So one of our oldest students, Aaron, the night before he came to this homeschool program, there was this creature that flew into his upstairs bedroom. And it was the northern flying squirrel. And I wouldn't say these kinds of encounters with a northern flying squirrel flying into your upstairs bedroom is super common. If you don't know anything about these animals, they're really amazing, and they're secretive and nocturnal. You know, just many people just don't see them. And so Aaron, that morning at the homeschool program, picked northern flying squirrel. So total synchronicity there. And then, you know, one of our other students, Matthew, he pulls the slip of paper out of the basket, and he has this confused look on his face, and he says, little brown myotis. And he didn't know what it was, so he said, oh, I'll look it up when I get home. And so when he went home, he went right to bed. He forgot to look it up. He was really exhausted after such a big first day. And that night, he dreamt of hordes of bats coming out of this large cave and surrounding him. And so a day or so later, he looks up his name, and he discovers that a bat, you know, another name for bat is myotis. So he told his mom, and his mom emailed us, and she says, you'll never believe what happened. He dreamt of bats, and then he looked up his name, and he sees that he's a bat. I just can't believe this has happened. So these kind of synchronicities happen a lot. And, you know, on that same day, actually, Tim picked a new name. And before we started Twin Eagles, Tim and I worked very closely with Mark Morey, who's on the call today, back at Vermont Wilderness School. And we spent 5 years there learning so much from Mark. And Mark's animal name at that time was American Robin. And so Tim picked the nature name American Robin, totally to his surprise. And we actually had a friend of ours later said, oh, you know, I know why he picked American Robin, because, you know, your mentor Mark couldn't be there with you. And so he had to come in the form of American Robin to be there with you now that you're starting a school and such. So little unexplainable. Definitely we're touching the mystery here. These are synchronicities. They may be seemingly unexplainable, but there they are for us to experience. So the last naming synchronicity story that I want to just tell you about is, after years and years of getting these different nature names for myself, I was experiencing all these really cool synchronistic connections with, you know, birds and plants and animals and so on, and something really interesting happened. I started to have these experiences with black bears. And looking back, I've had these connections with black bears in all these little and big ways my whole life. And so when I first started working with Mark long ago on this program called Ndaka, it means Child of the Earth, and I was assisting him and helping him bring this program to life, he would refer to me as the mama bear. And it didn't really occur to me at the time, actually. It was just a comment he made, right? Well, so here I am in Idaho, and this black bear would come up to my porch at night and just sit there for hours and not leave. And conveniently, it would always be just me and my boys when this would happen. And this would always have this huge impact on me as a mother, right? Sometimes it would move around our property and leave its tracks or sign. It would mark territory. And I was always really adrenalated about this. And then I started having dreams about this bear, continuous dreams. And so it culminated with this one bear dream when I was in my house with a bunch of people, and everybody knew the bear was coming in this house, and they all got alarmed, and they started running about. And I tried to calm everybody down by saying, don't worry, that bear is just coming for me. So the bear comes into the house, and everybody split. And the bear walks in and gets really close to me and makes physical contact with me. You know, it was trying to lay on top of me and sit real close and rub its fur on me. And it was this sort of merging of energies. So when I woke up later, it reminded me of Ingwe's story of how he made contact with a leopard that confirmed his nature name. And, you know, at almost every art of mentoring, I hear somebody say, well, you don't pick the name, it picks you. And I always thought that sort of sounded romantic and really mystical. But here it was actually happening to me. So it's really important to recognize these experiences can happen to all of us, and we're really designed for it. When we put ourselves in nature, when we really deeply immerse in nature and in a community of people who are connecting with nature, and when we're rooting our awareness in nature all the time, when we really surrender to this process of connection, these kinds of experiences are bound to happen. So one of the on-ramps of the art of mentoring is connecting with the mystery. That's like what happens as a result of going through this naming process. And there's tons of other aspects to the art of mentoring that are just like this. Connecting with the mystery comes as a result of all these other points. So the truth is, as a culture and as a people, we've been totally starved of the mystery of life and of nature and of ourselves. And so the art of mentoring connects us to that mystery in this super authentic, deep way. So at the art of mentoring, naming is just one example of something you're going to experience there. And it's present in all these earth-based cultures around the world. They have it integrated into their communities and into all their practices and life ways. And we don't really have this built into the modern world, really. So this is an example of healing and connection that's just waiting for us. And what I find is people are so excited by the mystery of what their name will be. You know, they're standing in this circle and they're about to get a new name, and they've got this whole connection with the mystery. They don't even know what their name is yet, and they're already loving the mystery. And we need that, actually. It's like soul food. And we're being facilitated into community. You know, where all these different people are getting a nature name, and that gets us all speaking the same language and curious about learning together. That's much more powerful, really, than just learning by yourself all the time. We're getting facilitated in this deeper connection with ourselves, though, at the same time, because we get this new identity and we're expressing individuality through this new name. And yet we're also experiencing diversity because other people are getting that name, a new name, too. And we're getting facilitated in connection with nature because we're seeing the animal and plants are our teachers and guides, not just humans. You know, like in the modern world, it's just humans who are really our teachers. And so, you know, at the Art of Mentoring, various groups get names like clans, and we name places on the land. We name times of day and phases of the moon, and we get all these opportunities to strengthen our connections. So that's what life is really all about, to connect. We just thirst for connection. It's the only thing that really authentically makes sense. That's what our spirits really want. We just want to connect. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. So there's a lot more that could be said about the Art of Mentoring. You'll experience a ton of things there, and naming is just one of them. And I've often heard John say, if we did the whole Art of Mentoring in its entirety, it would take weeks or months because there's so many different aspects to this big bundle of teachings. And over time, there's been 512 aspects to it identified. And before that, there was 64. And before that, there was 36. And our understanding of it keeps growing. We can't fit it all into a week. And, you know, I can't fit it all into 34 minutes here. So we just have this little bit of time here with you from all over the world. This is just a little appetizer. So I'll just wrap it up. Speaking of food, if I could just name one thing that has fed everything in my life in all these big and little ways, I would say it's the Art of Mentoring. And it's helped me weave all these connections with nature and myself and family and community and something much larger than myself, the mystery. It happens in this really incredible, artful way through culture. It's an awesome experience, and it's a homecoming. So I just want to invite you to come to the Art of Mentoring that's happening here in October and be ready to get a new name. And I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you, Janine. Those are just beautiful, beautiful stories, and you do just a beautiful job bringing those to life. Well, we're moving along here in our call, and it's time for our next speaker. I'm really excited to present to you Mark Morey. Mark is a creative artist, visionary educator, and cultural engineer, and consultant who designs regenerative, holistic communities with timeless native principles. Mark founded or co-founded three transformational organizations in the last 15 years, Deep Wilds, Vermont Wilderness School, and the Institute for Natural Learning. This sparked a whole nature and community awareness movement in the Northeast United States that today impacts 5,000 adults and children. He facilitated wilderness survival and spiritual passages for teens and adults since 1997, including over 40 week-long Art of Mentoring workshops and 7-plus years of sacred fire rite of passage initiations for teen boys, and I understand that he just completed one of those recently. Mark is inspired by the hero's journey model and the oral history of his ancestors and native people around the world. Mark's passion for environmental healing and consciousness has gained him wide recognition as a leader in earth-centered learning. That's the official intro, and I've got to put a personal introduction in there as well, because Mark and I share a long history, a long mentoring history, the two of us do, over the last 13 years, and we've traveled through a variety of relationships together, from mentor-student to roommates to friends to brothers to colleagues. And Mark, for me, is someone I hold close in my heart, and secretly one of my covert reasons for hosting the Art of Mentoring here at Twin Eagles is to hang out with Mark, because we definitely don't get enough time to do that these days, both living very busy lives. So, just really pleased to introduce to you all Mark Morey.
Hey, everybody. Straight from the middle of an Art of Mentoring in the UK. Sitting here with my friends, John Young and Jerry Brady. Say hi to the folks.
Hello, everybody. It's John Young.
Hello, everybody. Jerry Brady in a foreign land here in England. So, good from Dublin. Hope you're all keeping well. They're all in the way. Unless,
now you can tell your relatives that you're famous.
That's right.
Well, let's see here. You know, there's so many things to talk about the art of mentoring, but music's a good one. We had a really nice set of musicians put together for this art of mentoring. You can't believe how much song and music is woven into every day. It's almost as if once it gets going, it's like oxygen or something. How could we spend our days starved with such joy and music and dance and song? It's really wonderful. We had a beautiful song earlier today when we were transitioning from one activity to another, and it's this beautiful solo from this woman who had learned this song from an elder in the north of Scotland, and it brought everybody to tears. It was a beautiful moment. And it just seems that music and song it's not just entertainment. You know, when we put it in the context of village and original instructions of what we're meant to do as human beings, it's an expression of life itself. So in the art of mentoring, it's really a one big time out from many of the usual routines that people have in their everyday life, and you get to try on some things that are old patterns, and both our ancestry and cultures around the world that are still practicing deep nature connection, patterns of connection with the land and with each other and their community, and song and music seems to keep coming up. You know, there's other things they have in common too when we look at cultures that have a lot of peace in them, which is routines of gratitude. But if you look at the music, there's often so much gratitude pouring through the lyrics and through the musicians themselves. It's like maybe music is an antenna to the stars, an antenna to the ancestors, an antenna to the people who have come before us, to the great mystery, all the different words that people might use to express spiritual connection. Music, it's both humorous and sorrowful and full of joy and laughter. It's better than an acupuncture treatment. It really stirs the imagination and touches people. There's this expression for the arts that music is part of, which is to make the intangible tangible. Music makes the intangible tangible. There's a woman here from Scotland, and she's a bard. She's one who channels messages from the unseen. And she does that through spontaneous poetry and music. And it's as if she's listening to a radio station in her ear. And before the art of mentoring, she had come to this new land. And she says, I wonder what it is that the land would like to communicate to us. And we asked her, would you please open up our week with some kind of welcoming song? And we thought she would pull it from her repertoire. But instead, she went out on the land, and she, through her own personal practices of connection and bardic tradition, actually received a whole song, melody, and set of words for us that welcomed us onto that place that was so deeply stirring that people thought it was something that she had learned from a book or something. And yet it was channeled right there in that moment. And I was inspired to remember, you know, perhaps that's something that we could all do again someday. And I imagine my daughter, and I imagine her having that ability to receive that kind of original instructions in the moment. So that's one of the ways in which music and song has played out. We also had tonight, you know, we're moving towards the end of the week, and there's been a lot of things stirred for people, a lot of activities, and we're having a big barn dance tonight. They call it a Kaylee here, and there's a band coming, and they're going to lead a bunch of dances. There's definitely traditions and patterns in the world of shaking, jumping up and down, moving their bodies through some lively music, you know, creating a lift in your step. the music intentionally driving people to lift their legs, keep lifting on the upbeat, to move their body and move their brain up and down, kind of internal massage for all the organs, for all the things that might get stuck in there. You ever have that in the course of your day where, like, I don't know, an inadvertent look or a comment or maybe something that slipped out of your own mouth and then it's just stuck in your body, like a little twinge, a little sore spot, and it just gets stuck there. If it's not taken care of, it can actually be there in the morning when you wake up again, and maybe even it builds like a little bit of a deposit and it hardens there. And dancing and moving and shaking through joy and connecting with other people has a way of shaking that loose. It creates like a heat and a vibration that loosens up any of those things that might have gotten stuck in there and opens up the flow again. Gets the blood pumping, moving through your veins, but beyond your body, more like through your soul or something. And when I do that, I know it's like it clears my channels again to receive whatever magic and inspiration is available that's just right there in front of me. So tonight's a big contra dance, barn dance, where everyone's going to be celebrating the week. And also earlier, we had a welcoming that took place with the musicians that were here. There's a young guy here who he's a brilliant musician, and he brought a sousaphone with him this week, and he's been creating a brass marching band. And turns out there's a guy here who had a trombone in his car, and so they created a brass marching band. And you've never seen something more fun and ridiculous. And it just split everybody down the side. You know, a lot of laughter, a lot of fun. And it turns out it was someone's birthday, a 9-year-old girl's her birthday. And so they sang happy birthday to her with this brass band. And it was the funnest thing ever. Life didn't get better than that. The kitchen went out of their way to make a special cake for her. And that was really good. So what else can we say about music and song? Jerry Brady here. Glad you're here, Jerry. It's always a good time. And
thank you very much.
There's just a couple years ago when I met Jerry for the first time, we were also in England, and I was telling him about what the mission of the Art of Mentoring is, and that what we want to do is return to the land again with a kind of awareness and relationship. And he said, there's a song you have to learn. You have to learn this song. It's called Come by the Hills. And in this song it's like a set of instructions for doing that thing I talked about that bard did. So I want to sing that song here with my Uncle Jerry, and then I want to talk about the verses for a second, because I think there's something really important in there that you can even take home on this call.
Will I be ready?
Yeah.
Come by the hills to the land that's fancy and free, and stand where the people see the sky and the locks meet the sea, where the river runs clear and the bracken is warm in the sun, and the cares of tomorrow can wait till this day is done. And come by the hill to the land where life is a song, and sing while the birds fill the air with their joy all day long, where the trees sway in time and even the wind seems in tune, and the cares of tomorrow can wait till this day is done. And come by the hills to the land where legends remain, where stories of old fill the heart and may yet come again, where the past has been lost and the future has yet to be won, and the cares of tomorrow can wait till this day is done. So come by the hills to the land that fancy and free, and stand where the free meet the sky and the locks meet the sea. Where the rivers run clear and the bracken is warm in the sun, and the cares of tomorrow can wait till this day is done. And the cares of tomorrow can wait till this day is done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
So the cares of tomorrow can wait till this day is done. People are already worrying about tomorrow before this day is even over.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday is gone.
There it is. So the message in the refrain over and over again is a message of peace. And there's something about that, getting the children to sing that song. It's just a song, right? But it's a message that gets sent again and again through the hearts of the people. And what better anchoring than to have your whole family and maybe even your community singing that song in harmony together, and having all that resonance of the harmony vibrating through everybody's body in the message and the refrain. And the cares of tomorrow can wait till this day is done. And if you listen to the verses in there, it says, you know, to be at the tops of the mountains where the peaks meet the sky, and to go down to the sea where the locks meet the sea. Go to these places to quest for connection. And you'll hear where the wind sings in tune. You'll hear the birds. You know, you'll draw from nature song. And in that last verse, it says, you know, go to the land where legends remain, where stories of old have been lost. But the future is yet to be won. So there's a vision available there, a vision of going back to the original instructions, back to the roots again, where we can create a new future again. So it's a beautiful song, and there's a whole map in there just in that one set of verses. And, you know, I'm thankful for you, Jerry, for sharing that with me, because I've taken that song to different places around the world, and I have taught my daughter that song. And today that's a nice tune that's about her father coming home with a gift from another place when he's been away, you know. And so it's a story of connection and love between she and I. And I know as we sing that song over time, the meaning will deepen for her. It'll deepen, and it'll carry her into her old age where perhaps she'll become a bard, like this Scottish woman who can channel songs from the land again.
Well, it's that type of song, you know, very gently on the ear. And I was so delighted that you took it right across to America. So when I went over with the song, there were so many people singing it to me up in Vermont and San Francisco, California, and Bonnie June. I was more amazed than anybody. I'm much delighted, I can assure you.
Music has a way of getting around.
Great.
So I think I'll pause there, and I'll leave us in that place, and I'll pass it to you, John, if you'd like to follow up.
Who's you, John?
You, John Young.
I know a man over on the Lakota Reservation. His name was You, John Blacksmith. And when I ran the Owl and the Fiddler restaurant in New Jersey between 1983 and 1990, that's where I met Jerry Brady. 1984, probably.
1984.
Might even have been 83. Maybe you can meet him over there. We should please him over there. We should panel.
Yep.
Back.
Got it.
I think it's the other one. Mike, there you go. Ah, you did it, Mark. Thank you. It was in that year, the years between 83 and 90, that where I first met Jerry, and where I had a waitress who spoke five languages, and she was an incredible woman named, he probably even remembered, Jean. She was so fun. And Jean Pisani, she was a little fireplug, short hair, just full of it. and full of vinegar, as they say, and a little and other stuff as well. And we had a good time with Jeanine, and she would always say, "Here, this is for you, John." And then someone would say, she'd always come in, "Who's you, John?" And I heard that so many times over the years. And I finally met a man named You, John, on the Lakota reservation. I couldn't believe it. Oh, there was actually a person named You, John. And all that aside, the humor and the music certainly have been a big part of my life. And I think in the searching for the art of mentoring and what it really is, to me, I mean, because really it's taken a life of its own. I ran the first art of mentoring officially by that title in 1985 under the Wilderness Awareness School record label back in those days. And it was run in a place called Duval, Washington, in the Western Cascades in King County, about 30 miles east as the crow flies from Seattle. But there, at the edge of a very wild and immense wilderness area, I mean, there was bears and mountain lions and occasional wolves, and we often saw bald eagles, and quite a lovely place to run an art of mentoring. But in those days, it was before we had actually evolved the art of mentoring to what it's become. But it's quite literally taken on a life of its own, and a lot of it has to do with the influence of Mark Morey, who is an exquisite community artisan. You know, how to build art that accomplishes a mission using people as the medium, in a sense. You know, people's creativity and curiosity and desire to weave their passions together in different ways. And so it's really evolved into quite an event that simulates the village. But in that very first art of mentoring in 95, I laid down an intention and a mission, which still remains true to this day, that, you know, ultimately, if you've taken a few art of mentorings, if you've taken one art of mentoring and you don't really know what it's about, you leave there scratching your head, but you know you've been changed on some fundamental level and you can't quite figure out what it is, you know. It might have pushed your buttons. It might have got your activists going. It might have pissed you off. It might have got you to cry. It might have got you to laugh. And you'll come home and someone will notice a look in your eye and notice that you're different in the way that you conduct yourself. And somehow you're more powerful and you're more you than you were before. And people wonder about that. And they're like, yeah, maybe the art of mentoring, you know, was something. You know, and they'll come back again and take it again. They might take it two or three times volunteering and getting on staff and, you know, helping out at events and so on. And after a couple of years, they'll have a pattern restored to the way that they conduct their social experience, you know, their family life, their business life, the way they work within their neighborhood, the way they are with their neighbor at the mailbox. You know, they'll change even in the way they conduct themselves. You know, they'll be a little happier, a little healthier, a little bit more vital, a little more curious, a lot more love, a few more tears, you know, and nobody's ever said after they've been enriched by the art of mentoring experience, "Please give me back my old unaware self." I've never heard that, actually. It's interesting. People have expressed to me that as a result of the connection that that has been restored to them through art of mentoring, their sensitivity has increased, their empathy has increased, and as a result, they feel more and they feel more pain. And sometimes they're, you know, looking bitter and they're looking sad. And I say, "Are you mad at me for opening up those channels?" And they say, no, I'd never be mad at you for that. You know, as Ingwe always used to tell us, the elder that Jerry also met in New Jersey back in those 80s, the grandfather of Wilderness Awareness School, Ingwe, he used to say, if I wake up in the morning and I don't feel any pain, I wonder if I'm still alive. So pain helps me to feel alive, he would say. there's always a bright side to everything. Anyway, so basically, what is the art of mentoring doing? You know, and I guess in 95, I set an intention to look at a form of natural capital that was present in every primary culture and traditional culture that I visited and studied in the world, except for one, and it was the Western culture that didn't seem to possess these things. And I've now downgraded Western culture to a new status. It's now called the postmodern society. It's the postmodern Western world, or the social system of the Western world. But I will not call it a culture, because I realize that in calling the Western experience a culture, you are fooling yourself. You're applying a word that means to cultivate, to help grow, to help nurture life. And, you know, the West is not exactly known for that. Look into the annals of any indigenous traditional society, whether it's Ireland or Austria or Poland or Botswana or Australia or Polynesia and Hawaii. Ask those people if they felt when the Western people first contacted them if they were being nurturing and life-affirming. I don't need to answer that question, I'm sure. Anyway, so as I began to, you know, I studied anthropology from about 1979, I began to formally dig into anthropological texts and journals and articles and things in the library over at Alexander Rutgers University, and checking out books that hadn't been checked out for 30, 40 years with corners of the page. If you weren't careful, they'd break off on your finger. And the books had a smell to them, which I'm sure you can imagine that old book smell. And it used to irritate my eyes and make my nose run. But it was worth it because I would be transported on these journeys, you know. And whether I was on the edge of a fishing village in the west of Ireland or I was in the central Kalahari with the Bushmen, it didn't really seem to matter. There was a certain fullness to the people that I could sense, I could feel, I could almost taste. And actually, really, to be honest, I longed for. In my I used to call it the suburban desert. You know, I grew up in a very nice neighborhood. The homes were nice. The cars were nice. The streets were nice. The people seemed nice. You know, they would say nice things if you could get them to say anything. But they never connected with you. They didn't really take the time to really engage with you. If you weren't an engaging person, they didn't engage back. It wasn't part of it, you know. I could sense from the earliest age that I felt pretty well isolated. I felt like I was surrounded by people, yet I was alone. And it had to do with the fact that when I spent time with people of high cultural caliber, Ingwe, Jerry here, who's sitting to my right now after all these years, we're now family. I would say friends, but friend is not big enough. That's why we call him Uncle Jerry. He's been upgraded to uncle status. The beloved Uncle Jerry, who's probably all your uncles on the phone, you probably have all met him. He's already probably told you a joke and sung you a song, if you're lucky. And Ingwe, Jerry, myself, we spent time together, and I would long for that kind of company. I would drive the hour down to see my great aunt from Poland because in Poland people took the time to communicate and to really connect. And she was a lovely, lovely elder, and she was a tremendous mentor to me. And what she really mentored me in was the value of the moment, the value of the quietness of nature, the value of just being quiet there and feeling, you know, the connection of love between an elder and a young boy along the edge of a beautiful wilderness area, you know, the Barnegat Bay. So I had a lot of that growing up around me. I'm blessed to have had many good friends and elders from good cultures that had good strength. But when the Western world rushed to modernization and the Industrial Revolution, they threw the baby out with the bathwater, and they threw out a lot of the components of culture and tried to claim the word culture, you know, but no, postmodern world, a world of chaos, isolation, and separation. There's a lot of casualties to the postmodern experience, and a lot of people suffer under this form of social expression that isn't really expression. It's kind of an insidious form of, I don't know, it's masquerading as something that it isn't. And, you know, when people talk about education and they talk about learning, you know, what everyone agrees to is that if I could be my own passionate, curious, powerful self, I could go anywhere in my life, I could do anything. And yet our educational system isn't really set up to give that. You know, it doesn't really provide that nurturing. So going back to the very original inspiration for the art of mentoring in 1995, I had a man that I've been mentoring by telephone for a couple of years. His name is Rick Bedsworth, and he's living in Independence, Missouri to this day. And as a matter of fact, he adopted a sit spot probably around 1994, 95, 17 years later, he's still going to the very same sit spot. This man knows more things about the bird language of Independence, Missouri than I'll ever know. He's been going there the whole time. But in 1994, 95, I met him at a tracker school class And he said to me, it was actually December of 1994 when I met him, and he said to me, hey, I have this idea to run a program for children in my area. And he laid out these incredibly powerful art mentoring tools, which are in Coyote's Guide. You know, they're essentially the Northeast tools and the Southwest tools in Coyote's Guide. And he's saying, hey, John, imagine this. Imagine if I do this and this and this with these kids, and every day we go and have these experiences, and we come back and we do this back at the campfire. And he's just laying out these incredible patterns that I know are incredibly effective. And I had already, since 1983, been applying those same patterns. But I had applied them a little too liberally, a little too fast, a little bit too densely. And the result was that the kids had deep psycho-spiritual transformational experiences that the eco-psychology field writes all about. And when they got home, their parents didn't recognize them, you know, energetically. And it created a lot of conflict. So I knew that I had to turn down the love light, if you will. You know, I had to reduce the impact of these power tools for connection, because our society was not used to connecting at that frequency, at that level, at that bandwidth, and that we needed to introduce connection slowly. And at the same time, we needed to introduce it to the parents and to the teachers and to the cousins and friends, and give these people a roadmap for how to orient that really, yes, it's different, and yes, it'll make you feel different than your peers, but that doesn't mean it's bad. You know, it's kind of like everyone's been starving and dying of thirst, and so someone gets a bite to eat and gets a drink of water, but no one else in the village does, and all of a sudden they're feeling really good and different than everyone else, and everyone's feeling threatened by that change. But if you ask the person how they're feeling, they're going to say, I've never felt better in my life. And that's a lot like what Art of Mentoring does. And so when Rick told me his plans, I said, Rick, I really would wish for you to buy a plane ticket and fly to Western Washington, and I'll sit with you for 5 or 6 days, and I'll share stories with you about how this model works and the impact that it can have, both positive and surprising. You know, surprising sometimes being negative, depending on how you've prepped people for it, you know. A powerful transformational model. And let's talk story, and we'll invite other people from the community here, and we'll tell people on our mailing list that we're going to do this, and anyone who wants to show up can be witness to this conversation. And that was the first Art of Mentoring in 1995. And it involved song, and it involved story, and it involved everything that it involves today. And its primary focus was, these are the tools of culture that help people connect to themselves, to each other, and to nature. And that there needs to be a nice balance. When you're connecting people to nature, you have to remind them to connect with their parents and friends. Because if you connect to nature deeply, and nobody else does, you'll have one of these psycho-spiritual moments that gives you essentially what, you know, what might be called a religious experience or a deep spiritual experience, but no one will relate to you. And you'll suddenly find yourself, you know, at odds with your own peer group and your own family. And we promised our beloved Elder Jake Swamp, who passed away just, you know, a year past last October. So, you know, we promised him in 1990 that we would dedicate our work to healing families. And if it could be found that what we were doing was creating separation within families, that we would do our best to figure out how to adjust for that and create support structures and systems and training processes for parents and teachers and family members, so that we could support people better on their journey. And we took that on. And we took that seriously, and, you know, to this day, the Art of Mentoring is an intergenerational family-based experience designed to bring families on a journey, and even whole villages on a journey. You know, sometimes when we run the Art of Mentoring in California, you know, you'll get 2 or 3 carloads from San Luis Obispo, and all these people will drive up to Santa Cruz, and then you'll get 3 or 4 carloads down from West Marin County in Sonoma, and they'll drive down together as friends, and you'll get the people from the East Bay driving in together. So people tend to come to the Art of Mentoring in small groups, you know, which is actually the best way to come, you know, because you're not having an experience and then going home and trying to tell everybody about it. You know, you're picking up tools that are desperately needed, because my metaphor, you know, that when I compare Art of Mentoring to a form of rehydration when you're dying of thirst, you know, I mean it. You know, the tools of Art of Mentoring are growing globally and virally, because people long for these things again. Humans are designed to be in connection. And if our social systems and our group consensus thinking has thrown the baby out with the bathwater, that doesn't mean we still don't need a drink of water. You know, health sometimes is elusive to us especially mental health, because we get stuck in patterns and we don't realize that everyone around us is stuck in the same pattern, you know. So, you know, the art of mentoring is a chance to witness and experience and feel other tools and learn some interesting skills of facilitation and things your grandmother used to know, essentially, to help put a little bit more sanity back into our process, you know. And with enough people practicing these skills of culture repair and cultural mentoring, we might actually be able to call the Western world a culture again, you know, and that would be a nice vision to hold. You know, what would it take to turn the Western world back into a Western culture? And I think that's everyone's goal in the long run, because that essentially means that we have well-being and we have peace of mind and we have happy families and people are getting enough in their life to eat and to drink and we're taking care of one another and our communities are resilient and working together and, you know, we're actually being decent with one another moment by moment. You know, and the children and the young people aren't feeling hopeless and isolated the way I was in my suburban desert, you know. So, yeah, I mean, that's what I'd like to share, you know, and just and offer that to you. And then I'm going to turn it back to the good hosts, Tim and Janine, that are holding the space here today. And I'll thank you all for taking the time to be on this call. And it's a pleasure and honor to be in another Art of Mentoring here in the middle of Sussex in the rural south of England near the coast with a really wonderful bunch of people from all over the world. The staff is from all over the world, and the people who are attending are from all over the world. And I'm seeing my uncle here, who I've known since 1983, up to my right, Mark Morey, who I've been working with since 97 or so, and Greg Summer, who I've been working with since 92 or 93. You know, it's just a testimony. You know, we are a mentoring network globally. When we talk about mentoring, we mean that. And as people develop sincere relationships, they last a very long time. You know, my co-author in the science editing position for What the Robin Knows, our new book that just came out through Houghton Mifflin, Dan Gerdoki, I've been mentoring him since the age of 15, and now I think he's around 40. So there's a 25-year history there with me and Dan, you know. And when we say mentoring, we mean it. You know, it's like family, it's like adoption. And it's a quality journey, a journey of concern, a journey of heart, a journey of weaving relationships that never break. You know, where you feel the challenges of life, you feel the love, you learn forgiveness, you learn to be kind and to be helpful, and these positive attributes emerge from this journey. So I hope to be able to see you all down the road and maybe in Idaho for the Art of Mentoring. That would be a really great thing. So if you're on the fence, come jump off and at least sing with us.
And that was just beautiful, beautiful storytelling and songs. And I just feel that shot of adrenaline coming straight from the heart of the Art of Mentoring out there in UK. You know, for me, the Art of Mentoring is something that has really deeply transformed my life and over these last 13 years. And it's inspired me to, on my own life's calling. Janine and I founded Twin Eagles Wilderness School 7 years ago, and the Art of Mentoring was so much a part. This level of transformation that happened in my heart and in Janine's heart was so much a part of us that we were inspired to start a whole school and put down our stake here in Sandpoint to start a school and to say, hey, let's do this. Let's bring people together, have these experiences. Let's bring the kids into it, the parents, the grandparents, everybody, and make this happen. And for years we've been dreaming about hosting an Art of Mentoring, and so, yeah, this coming October, from the 8th through the 13th, we're going to be hosting our first Art of Mentoring here at Twin Eagles Wilderness School, and we're really, really excited for it. I'm really glad, John, that you spoke about how important it is for whole communities to come, because it is a transformation of consciousness, and it is a transformation that happens in our communities. And it's really important that people understand that and embrace that from the very beginning. So as part of that, we're really wanting to encourage whole communities to come out to the Art of Mentoring in October, and we've got some great discounts that we're offering. You can email me about that if you're interested. My email address is tim@twineagles.org. You should have all gotten that on an email. As well, one of the things we promised was that we're going to offer a discount for everybody to come to the Art of Mentoring. just for being a part of this call today. And so I do want to put that out there. We're offering a $100 discount, which is, I think, gosh, almost 15% off the base price for the Adult Pro Art of Mentoring program, and that's for first-time participants or returning participants. what we need from you is to sign up in the next 2 weeks and use the code AWAKE. So $100 off if you sign up in the next 2 weeks, use the code AWAKE, and you can find all the registration forms and everything online on the Twin Eagles Wilderness School website. That's www.twineagles.org, TWINEAGLES.org. Just click on Adult Programs, Art of Mentoring. And, yeah, cash-wise, what we need from everybody is just a $100 deposit or more is fine, but at least a $100 deposit along with your registration forms. And all this information is going to be in an email that I'll send out to everybody. That email is also going to have a link to the recording. It might take a day or two before we can get all that together, but I'll send that out just as soon as we get all that together. Okay? So let's see here. My unfortunately, my internet is giving me trouble here. I'm wondering, Mark, are you still on the internet site there where you can see the participants dialing in?
Yeah, we got the conductor's panel, Tim. You need to like watch for hands to raise and open mics and stuff.
Yeah. Let's try a couple things. So one thing I'm just wondering is of the people who are on the call, who's planning on or considering coming to the Idaho Art of Mentoring this coming October? If you are, just press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Let's see. Maybe you guys can report back what you're seeing there.
30%,
45%. 45% of
the
people on the call are coming.
Excellent. Great. And, you know, we also talked about doing a little bit of Q&A time on the comment section for the sign-up. I think there were at least 2 different women, I believe, who were asking about this dynamic that sometimes happens, right? Someone comes to the Art of Mentoring, they don't bring their spouse. They come back, wow, I've had this huge transformational experience. And they were asking, hey, is that going to be addressed? Can you guys speak to that? And I wonder, either John, Mark, or Janine, if anyone would like to speak to that, just briefly here.
Yeah, it's a great idea to bring your significant other, for sure. Especially if you're prone to go gather medicine in other places and then come home and try to hand it off to your significant other. That's just never worked for me, personally. and really, I think a family will be strengthened by what goes on with the Art of Mentoring. So highly encourage, if you can come with your significant other and your children as well, if it's possible. I'm not sure what the arrangements are, Tim, but I shouldn't maybe invite without knowing the details. But
no, absolutely.
Yeah,
we've got youth programs, we've got toddler programs, youth programs, and an overnight teen program. So basically ages 3 and up, come on out.
Right on. And, you know, there's always a blanket at an Art of Mentoring, you know, up near the front, you know, off to one corner with an exit nearby, you know, for emergency exit. And mothers are there with their youngest, you know, sitting and holding and even nursing at times, you know, with the little ones. And if the babies get a little loud, they just slip out real quietly and go up back outside. And, you know, it's always been an event that's well attended by families. And that just makes for a much healthier and richer ecosystem for everyone involved.
Great. Well, thanks so much. So, yeah, I guess we do have a few minutes left here. And maybe what we can do is go ahead and open up the lines to some Q&A. We've got about 10 minutes left in our call time here today. So, yeah, my internet is unfortunately still down. So if you guys can handle that, we can do is maybe put all the hands down. And then for anybody out there on the call today who's got a question, you can press the number 1.
There you go.
And Mark and John will see you over there on their internet connection and can call on you there.
Click on. Okay. All right. All right,
we've got a question from Adrian, no one give us a second. We're just going to open the mic for you, Adrian. Okay, you're on.
Hi, guys. This is Adrian out in Kalispell, Montana, sitting in the Heartroot Teepee. Pretty excited about the call. Two quick questions. One, is there going to be any opportunity for scholarships? And two, do you have a group discount?
Yeah, great question, Adrian. Hello over there from our teepee to yours. Yeah, we do. The answer is yes to both. So we do have a scholarship fund, and the full details on that, I'm not going to get into all the details on the call here, but the full details are on our webpage. So again, www.twineagles.org, click on Adult Programs, Art of Mentoring, and at the bottom of that page you'll see a link to scholarships. You can just click on that, and it's got all the details right there. And yes, we are doing group discounts. As we were mentioning, we really encourage whole communities to come out. And so we're going to be working with the regional coordinator from the different communities. I know we're going to be working with Brett Holmquist from the Western Montana extended Ravenwood community there, and giving discounts to whole coming out.
Okay, so should I just reach out to Brett directly for Heartroot staff and that angle here, or should I reach out through you?
Just send me an email, Adrian, and we can take good care of you there.
Excellent. That's all I needed. Yeah. And Jerry, hi. I know we haven't met yet, but someday we will, and I'm really looking forward to it. Your music made me smile. I've been waiting to hear that for a couple of years now.
Great, Adrian. Great.
That's it for me. Thanks, guys.
Great. Thanks, Adrian. So let's see here. Do we have any other questions out there?
Yeah, come on, Amy Beam over there in Washington, D.C. How are you, my dear sister Amy?
Hi, I'm doing great. It's so good to hear everybody. I've been listening to the call and the encouragement for people to bring their spouses and their communities. And as you all know who know me, I think that's a great idea. I've been doing that for years, but I just want to also say that if it's not possible to bring your community or your spouse, don't let that discourage you from going, because mm-hmm. you should never underestimate what one person fully transformed is able to do when they go back, especially if they're well prepared, which I think the Art of Mentoring has gotten to be really great at. Mm-hmm. And so that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Amy. You know, that's really important. And as Janine mentioned on the comments, towards the end of the Art of Mentoring, we do dedicate a whole chunk of time on talking about integration and talking about the deep changes that have occurred and how to bring that back home.
Exactly.
Whether we've got your family and community with you or not. But really, thanks for saying that, Amy.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having this event. It's really exciting.
Yeah. Okay,
right.
Great. Other calls out there.
Hey, it's Tim. Let's go down to New Zealand, and we'll catch something from Tom Nicholson.
Great.
You got the mic, Tom.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for the talk. It's a beautiful early morning down this way. Look, my question is, if there was a group of us in New Zealand who wanted to organize, host Art of Mentoring, what would be the steps towards that?
Mark, do you want to answer that question?
I'm going to hand that one to Mark Morey, because Mark coordinates our international Art of Mentoring scene.
Great.
Tom, have you been to an Art of Mentoring before?
No, not yet. I was looking to go to the one in summer, and then plans changed, so I'm just working through Kamana 2 down the center of the world and going at things that way.
Great. Well, that's a good start. I think your first step would be to go to one and maybe bring like two key stakeholders with you who are really strong networkers and have really big community relationships. You know, don't bring the guy who lives in a cave, you know, the isolated types. Bring someone who's got some relationship skills already built in advance and is coming to check out the model for community development, you know? That would be my top tip for you, because you'll be able to express the vision after having embodied it.
Yep, got it. Cool.
Yeah. That'd be great to see you in one of these artimentaries this year.
That's great, Mark. Thanks for your response. I appreciate it. That's it for me.
Hey, Tom, are you in touch at all with Barilla Jones?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, because there's been a few folks down there that have been working with us long distance. So, good. Let's just keep the conversation going.
Cool.
And
thank you.
Like to thank you very much for your question. Tim, I'm going to give it over to Nick Kern.
Great.
Hi, can you guys hear me all right?
Yep.
Hi, Nick.
Hi. Great talk. Appreciate it. Nice music. Everything's great. I have a four-year-old daughter, and I'm wondering, you know, in the meantime between now and when I can advance my mentoring skills, do you have any recommendations on one piece of advice in working with, you know, young kids, especially my own?
I'd like to put if you're not going to make it to the Art of Mentoring, I'd like to put a plug in for the book Coyote's Guide to Connecting to Nature. It's full of incredible tools. I mean, we threw all the best tools on the table, wrote about them. People field tested them for years, gave us feedback. I mean, the book is a consensus effort to bring forward our best practices in connecting kids to nature. So I think you've got a ton of great tools there.
Yeah, I love the book. I do have it, John, and it is wonderful. Thank you for putting it out there. And that's great. I'll just go to that and keep working with it.
Thanks. But Mark has an idea for you, too. Thank you for the feedback.
Since you've engaged in it a little bit here, you know, if you're ambitious, what I've been suggesting to people is starting a Coyote's Guide club, a little bit more like an experiential version of a book club where you're sitting together reading. You know, human beings are social animals. They really enjoy reading a book and then talking about it. You could put together a Coyote's Guide club where a number of people are reading just a handful of activities, and then you get together and do them. And that's just a great way to get it in your body and motivate yourself to try new things. So check that out.
Very good. I will. Thank you.
Great.
All right. That's all the hands we got up for now, Tim.
Okay, great. Well, I think we are at the end of our call time as well, so this is all working out just great. Again, I want to put a big thank you out to Janine and to Mark and to John for taking some time out of your schedules and joining us here to plant some seeds and light some fires about the art of mentoring that we've got coming up. So many thanks to you three for joining us here today. And Jerry, too. Absolutely. Brought our hearts and minds together at the beginning of the call with offering a little bit of gratitude for the different elements of our world and just returning to that gratitude and gratitude for all those things that we mentioned, community and the natural world and the juncos and the morel mushrooms, and as well, big gratitude again for everyone who joined us on the call and our speakers and all this technology that's made this possible. And so with that, we're going to go ahead and separate our hearts and minds and bring the call to a close. Again, we'll be following up with a big email with all the details, so keep your eyes out for that. And big greetings and blessings out to everybody out there. Okay, thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time.